The Civil Justice Subcommittee will come to order. Julia, please call the roll.
Chair Robinson.
Here.
Vice Chair Snyder.
Here.
Ranking Member Arrington.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Chamberlain.
Here.
Daniels.
Here.
Gant.
Here.
Coster.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Maney.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Roth.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Julia. I want to remind everyone to please silence their cell phones. Also, as a reminder for our members, please ensure that you turn your microphone on when you're speaking and off when you're finished. I also request that you please fill out a public appearance card if you intend to speak before the committee. Today we have five bills for consideration: HB 103, HB 285, HB 385, HB 461, and HB 6001. So let's jump right into it. First up, HB 6001 by Representative Mazzullo, presenting the very first bill in front of the Civil Justice Subcommittee for this term. So we're excited. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, members. This particular claims bill is about a tragic incident that happened to a Mark Lagata back in 2020 when he and his daughter were riding a motorcycle along Road 24 outside of a small rural area in West Florida. Mr. Lagata actually was in an accident caused by and by fault of the Department of Transportation, and he sustained injuries that required several weeks of hospitalization. He endured a tracheotomy, induced coma, and had, unfortunately, his left leg amputated. He was not able to return to his career of his choice. He's living now with the emotional pain and suffering of that injury. And this particular claim is for $2.2 million that was not disputed by the Department of Transportation. Mr. Lagata is here today on the left of me, sitting in a wheelchair, and he's more than willing to answer any of your questions, as I am. Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions on the bill? Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Mazzullo, for this bill and this effort. I actually have an employee, one of my best key management employees, that had an issue with the Palm Beach County vehicle, and they had quite a bit of trouble. So are you telling me, first of all, that the police report specified who was at fault in the accident?
Representative Mazzullo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Roth, the Department of Transportation does not argue this claim.
Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, public appearance cards? We have none. Members, anyone wishing to debate on this bill? Seeing none. Representative Mazzullo, you're recognized to close in your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just ask the members to unanimously support this claim for this gentleman. Thank you.
Representative Mazzullo, having closed in his bill, Julia, please call the roll on HB 6001 and announce the vote.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes.
McFarland.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Roth.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Chair Robinson.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show HB 6001 reported favorable.
Thank you, committee. Have a wonderful day.
Okay. Next up for consideration, HB 285 by Representative Hunchowski. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Robinson, and good morning, Vice Chair Snyder, Ranking Member Arrington, all the members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to present HB 285, which is Public Records Recording Notification Service to you. This bill creates a public records exemption for personal information submitted to a clerk or property appraiser for the recording notification service. So these recording notification services started because we had some title fraud and those sorts of things going on in Florida. And this is a way for an owner to sign up so that whenever a recording is done on their property, that they would be alerted. And that way they would know whether it was something they had done or someone who was not party to them had done. So what this does is shields their name, their email address, and their telephone number that they submit. And the reason we want to do that is we want to encourage more people to sign up for these alert systems so that we can make sure fraud does not continue. And that, Mr. Chair, is the bill.
Any questions? Members, any questions on the bill? President Obedorf, you're recognized.
Just so you can take me through the mechanics one more time, you're saying, so name, phone number, email, only if they sign up for the program, though. Is that correct?
President Hojowski, you're recognized.
Yes, this is specific to the program, the alert program.
Further questions? Seeing none, we have an amendment. Representative, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 446213.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this amendment clarifies that the personal information are email, telephone numbers, the personal and business name, and also, I failed to mention earlier, the parcel identification numbers, and those are the only pieces of information that would be protected by this bill.
Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, any public testimony on the amendment? We're back doing this. You have a question on the amendment? We've already passed the other part, but anyway. Natalie Fossil, Florida Association of Property Appraisers, waves in support. Jason Welty, Jefferson County Clerk and Comptroller, waves in support. Gwen Marshall Knight, Lee County Clerk and Comptroller, waves in support. Sandra Sertines Beamer of the Florida Court Clerks and Comptrollers also waves in support. So all the public testimony, members, any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, would you like to close on your amendment?
Wave close, Chair.
Please show the amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Any public testimony on the bill as amended? Natalie Fossil, Florida Association of Property Appraisers, waves in support. We're in debate on the bill as amended. Members, anyone wishing to debate? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Daniels, you're recognized.
Oh, I would just want to thank you for this awesome bill. I'm honored to be your co-prime on this bill, and this is the icing on the cake for this alert program.
Further debate? Seeing none, Representative Hunchowski, you're recognized to close in your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just ask for all of your favorable support on this consumer-friendly bill. Thank you.
Representative Hunchowski, having closed in her bill, Julia, please call the roll on HB 285 and announce the vote.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Roth.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Chair Robinson.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Please show HB 285 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up, HB 461. Representative Amnesty, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member for the opportunity to present before you all this morning. The purpose of House Bill 461 is to allow women who have given birth less than 6 months before being summoned for jury service to be excused upon written request with a photocopy of the child's birth certificate. Strong and healthy families should be at the heart of our state policymaking. With this bill, Florida will join ranks with over a dozen states as politically diverse as California and Iowa and allow new mothers to be excused from jury service. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Any questions? Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Representative Amnesty. My question is, do they present the writing request prior to reporting that day, or can they do prior and when they get to the courthouse?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
So prior to getting to the courthouse, they would send a notification, written request, requesting the exemption and a copy of the birth certificate.
Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the birth certificate, does it have to be an, how does the clerk verify that it's an authentic copy of the birth certificate?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
That is a great question. I can reach out to your office for more details regarding that. I would think that someone would provide a official copy of a birth certificate. I know that birth certificates usually have a specific seal and it's verified, but I'm more than happy to look more deep into it and contact your office.
Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And is there a time frame for them to provide the written? Does it have to be like 5 days before, or if it's within a cutoff time that they actually have to report? I just want to make sure that they know what the cutoff time is so that they don't have to go to the court if they don't need to.
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
So as soon as receiving the notification that you've been selected for a jury service, you would have to contact, send a written request and a copy of the photocopy of the birth certificate. So upon receiving the request.
Representative Koster, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Does the bill, I know Florida has recently moved toward father's rights and paternity rights and all of those things. Does the bill encompass new dads?
Representative Annecy, you're recognized.
It does not. It's focused on women.
Further questions? Representative Koster, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Is there an appetite for including new dads that might be on paternity leave or just had a baby as well?
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
I would love to work on that. I'm open to adding that to the bill. Specifically, the bill is focused on women that are, of course, breastfeeding. They just given birth, and it's up to 6 months. But I'm more than happy to look further into that. Perhaps that could be something that we can do. We want families to thrive in Florida, so I'm open to considering that.
Further questions? Seeing none, do we have any public testimony? We don't. Members, we're in debate. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you for the bill. Just want to let the record reflect that Representative McFarland was actually back at work within 2 weeks of that. So I just wanted to let that out there.
Further debate on the bill. Further debate. Seeing none, Representative Amnesty, recognize closing your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this bill is important. Strong and healthy families should be at the heart of our state policymaking. In the Sunshine State, we're helping and committed to creating a bond with women and babies during these invaluable early moments. I look forward to counting with your support. And with that, I close, Mr. Chair.
Representative Amnesty, having closed in her bill, Julia, please call the roll on HB 461 and announce the vote.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Koster.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Roth.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Chair Robinson.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Please show HB 461 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Chair.
Okay. Next for consideration by this subcommittee, HB 385, Safe Exchange of Minor Children by Representative Rudman. Representative Rudman, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Vice Chair Snyder. Thank you, Ranking Member Arrington. I'm sure most of y'all will remember the Cassie Carley bill from last session, a bill that passed unanimously through our House of Representatives. We have refiled that bill this year with some notable improvements. I'm sure you'll recall that this is the bill that authorizes safe custody exchange locations, at least one in every county in the state. These locations will usually be in a sheriff station or substation parking lot. They will be designated, of course, with the purple light that I'm sure you all remember from last session. These locations are going to have to be well lit. They're going to have to be monitored 24/7 with video surveillance. The differences in this version of the bill this session, there are three noticeable improvements, I believe, that I want to make you aware of. Number one, we are letting the sheriffs in each county decide the exact location as opposed to the county commissioners. That's a change from last year. Secondly, this bill actually dives into the statutes in regards to parenting plans. So we are actually allowing the courts to decide when, where, and how it's appropriate to use these locations. And lastly, we are also diving into the statutes that pertain to domestic violence. So when someone is petitioning for protection from domestic violence, there will now be a box on the form that the petitioner can check, which basically requests the court to mandate these safe custody exchanges in the protected location. Mr. Chair, that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Questions? Question. Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. Representative Redman, thank you for this bill. I'm from Palm Beach County. Palm Beach County is 30 miles north to south and 40 miles east to west. So how does that work? Are we talking one location, or we have a sheriff can pick a location that is appropriate? But I know there's issues with purple lights and cameras and all that. So how is that going to work? You know, the location is 25 miles from where the two parents live.
President Rudman, recognize.
Thank you, Representative Roth, for that question. I can answer it based on my experience in the Florida Panhandle. So we have counties already in the Florida Panhandle that do have safe exchange locations. It's just not mandated. It's not mandatory. I happen to live in one of the counties that has no such safe custody exchange location. So for our parents, they would have to travel to Escambia County or Okaloosa. Palm Beach County, I'm not specifically familiar with. It would not surprise me if they already have safe custody locations. So it would be hopefully no extra burden on the county. But because of the differences from county to county, that's why we're requesting there be at least one location. There can be more than one, but we're requesting that each county have at least one.
President Roth, recognized.
So I'm going in the weeds a little bit here, but so a parent that is concerned about this safe custody issue, obviously, can they have a conversation with the sheriff about a different location, or that's probably not part of the bill, right?
President Redman, recognized.
Thank you, Representative. Again, what we've done in the bill this year is that we are running this through the courts. So it wouldn't be a direct conversation between the parent and the sheriff. It would go through the judges. It'd go through the court process.
Further questions? Representative Roth, you're recognized.
So that means that the parent does have the ability to petition the court for another location.
President Rudman, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. That's my understanding.
Further questions? Representative McFarland, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rudman, I appreciate you coming by my office. I'm sorry we couldn't connect yesterday. As I'm sitting here listening, I was just curious if the sheriffs are supportive of this new requirement.
Representative Rudman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative McFarland, for that question. That was actually one of the important changes that we made this year. Last year, again, as a freshman, I just said, let's leave it up to the county commissioners. There was actually some blowback to that. The sheriffs are actually very supportive of the bill, and we do have their support this year. Most counties felt it was more a decision to be made by the sheriff. The sheriffs would know better the secure locations.
Further questions? Seeing none, we have an amendment. Representative Rudman, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 866741.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to chalk this amendment up to a freshman mistake. In my haste to file the bill, I left out a very important sentence which provides basically immunity from liability for the counties and the sheriffs, and that's the amendment.
Any questions on the freshman mistake amendment? Seeing none, any public testimony? Any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, would you like to close on your amendment?
I'll waive close, Mr. Chair.
I'll show that amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the main bill as amended. Public testimony. Karen Mazzullo, Florida PTA, waves in support. Christy Sullivan is a proponent. Ms. Sullivan, you're recognized.
Hi, my name's Kirstie Sullivan. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen and help make some positive changes. My dear friend Cassie Carley lost her life last year during a custody exchange. She had a court-ordered location, but it was not safe. And her child's father, Marcus Spanavello, who is awaiting charges related to her death, changed the location last minute, and after 4 years of a very contentious custody battle, Cassie had grown weary and kind of weak, and in a haste went to a location that he had premeditated and chosen that was dark, and it was in the back of a parking lot. There was no other area within our county that had provided what she would have needed to save her life that night. This bill could make a big difference. I firmly believe if we had had this in our county, she'd be here with us today. So I really appreciate you guys considering it.
Thank you for your testimony. Stacy M. Cole. Followed by Andrea Reed.
Members of the committee, thank you so much for the opportunity to stand before you. And
ma'am, can you come a little bit closer to the microphone, please? Thank you so much. And pull it down.
Lower.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
These are the things of being 5 foot flat. Members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today on behalf of HB 385. I'm speaking and representing my dear friend, Cassie Carley, as you know, was murdered by her child's father during a child custody exchange. While I'm sure that many of you have the details of that event, what you may not know is prior to that date, Marcus Spinavello had never physically abused Cassie Carley. Therefore, she was ineligible for a protection from abuse order. Upon meeting Cassie in 2019, it was evident that she was in an abusive situation. I'm a former police officer from Alabama, and I immediately recognized his manipulative tactics, his forms of psychological abuse. One of his main tactics was using the court to control Cassie. In 2022, the court finally caught on to that tactic and was going to penalize him in the tune of over $5,000. When Marcus realized he had lost that control is when his true nature was exposed and his violent side came out. In the county that Cassie lived in, there are no safe custody exchanges. There are no areas that have 24-hour surveillance, no areas that are well lit, no areas that are easily recognizable by young mothers or fathers with an abusive spouse. Many, many men and women who are murdered by their spouses, there's no history of prior physical abuse prior to the date of that heinous act. So by passing HB 385, you are saving future Cassies. If this bill would have been in place on the day that Marcus premeditated and chose a dark location to meet Cassie in a rue attempt to exchange custody, then Cassie would be alive. So I thank you for your time. I plead with you to vote yes in passing this bill. It may not be 100% perfect, and there may be things that come down the road, because I would love and will fight to our nation's capital to see this become a federal law. So thank you again for your time, and please vote yes in favor of this bill.
Thank you. Andrea Reed, Family Law Section of the Florida Bar, followed by Christopher Tingle.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Dr. Representative Rudman, for this fantastic bill that really honors such a beautiful soul and such a horrible situation. The Family Law Section has worked very closely with Representative Rudman over the past 2 years with this particular bill. We've refined it, and we've got it in a form that we think the family courts are going to be able to enact and that will actually make a difference. So the provisions that affect injunctions are going to draw attention to the court to say, we have a high conflict family here, and we need to create a safe place for them to exchange their children. In the family law situation, so not in the domestic violence court, but in the divorce court or the paternity action, the family law judges are going to be able to say, oh yeah, this is a high conflict family, and we need a safe exchange location. I can't tell you how many high conflict families are in the system, but if you have time, I'm sure Representative Koster will tell you all about it. But this is, in fact, one of those bills that will definitely make a difference. And I will say, you know, I applaud this body and the Senate because it works so well with Grayson's Law that was passed last year, because now we're paying attention to the kind of situations that Carly Cassie was in, and we're putting it all together, and we're continuing time and again to make parents safe and children safe. And this is exactly the kind of bill that's going to make that happen. And Representative Roth, I'm from Palm Beach County, had the same concerns you did. I imagined a family from Pahokee, where, you know, from the Glades, coming to where West Palm to do this. But in Palm Beach County, our sheriff is very supportive of these. What we've been doing basically is using the sheriff's substations, and some of them will be available, you know. But I imagine that they'll get on board because, you know, the sheriffs have been supportive. And they understand that we need these monitored exchanges. Some families are doing this in Walmart parking lots. They're doing it at CVS's. But they need to be in a more safe location.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Christopher Tingle. You're recognized, sir, when you're able to come to the podium.
Thank you, members of the subcommittee, for letting me speak today.
Can you come a little closer, please? Great.
Thank you, members of the subcommittee, for letting me speak today. I wanted to give a little bit of insight how this bill would have helped me during my childhood when I was growing up in the state of Florida. My mother had to do exchanges with my father to whenever had to exchanges with my father whenever I had to be exchanged between my mother and father during my teenage years. We had to go to CVS's, go to parking lots of public businesses, places that were sometimes poorly lit. My mother sometimes was a little anxious, but not incredibly anxious about going to these things. Having a place that had a 24/7 surveillance, which had a sheriff's department location, and had a police on standby nearby in case something bad went down, would have eased the tensions and ensured that nothing bad would have happened. I want to thank you for letting me speak today, and hope you vote yes on this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, we're in debate. Ranking Member Arrington, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Rudman, for still working this bill so hard. I remember the first day I met you for swearing in is you did stop me in the hallway and you talked to me about wanting to do something about this issue. So I know that you've been working it from the start, and really appreciate you bringing back and talking to all the stakeholders to make sure we get it right and we get across the finish line today. Thank you so much.
Representative Soroy, you recognize the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank that young man for the courage to be here today and to share your story with us and help us understand why this is an important piece of legislation. Look forward to voting for it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Koster, you recognize the debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative, for continuing to fight the good fight. I often say that sometimes bad facts make bad law. And I struggled with this bill last year. I supported it. I know how important the issue is, but I do believe that sometimes bad facts make bad law, and so I just want to applaud you for working with the family law section, who deals with these things day in and day out, to get their expertise to make this a good law. So bad facts are now going to make good law, and I love that, and so I'm looking forward to supporting it, and I thank you for working with the section. I also applaud the update to the domestic violence form. I don't know if people understand what that means. So when we're up here, we put things into statute. We understand what they mean. Lawyers understand what they mean. But when you're filling out a domestic violence injunction petition, you are there by yourself. You have just been abused. You don't know up from down, and you're checking boxes on a form, and you don't know to go read the statute and know what elements you need to put in your petition in order to get your injunction. And so updating that form, like we did with Grayson's Law last session, is so critical, because now that there's a box that somebody can check, and that's much easier than trying to read and understand and comprehend a statute. So I applaud you for that change as well, and look forward to supporting it.
Further debate. Representative Daniels recognized.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Rutman, for your spirit and your dedication, your commitment to this awesome bill. Safety is first in this situation, but it's my prayer. I know it says that we'll have at least one mandatory station, that because visitation is all the time, and for some of the larger cities, it's my prayer that we will work to have more, because it could be a financial burden, it's all the time, and I just pray that we can have more mandatory sites in the larger cities so that the parents will have better access. Thank you.
Further debate? Seeing none, Representative Rudman, you're recognized for closing your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, it's going to be hard to follow the testimony of Cassie's friends and loved ones. I thank them for coming up and testifying this morning. You know, I don't think I have the words that would do Cassie justice. But I tell you who can do Cassie Carley some justice, and that's each and every one of you guys. So I hope you'll vote up on this bill. Thank you.
President Rudman, having closed in his bill, Julia, please call the roll on HB 385 and announce the vote.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Roth.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Chair Robinson.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Please show HB 385 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Our last bill, and our most controversial bill, in my opinion. Just kidding. HB 103, Public Records, County and City Attorneys, by Representative Arrington. Ranking Member Arrington, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. I think that's probably a payback for my joke at the last meeting. I completely understand. But also, good morning, Vice Chair Snyder and members of the committee. Today, I'm requesting your support of House Bill 103, which would create a public records exemption for current county attorneys and city attorneys, along with assistant county and city attorneys. Specifically, the bill exempts the home addresses, date of birth, telephone numbers, along with photographs of them. Unfortunately, our municipality attorneys have recently come under attack and stalked along with their families as they are representing our municipalities and communities, on the front lines in disputes and public meetings. We have lost good county attorneys and city attorneys to the private sector because they do not want to put themselves or their family members at risk. This is also costing the taxpayers more money by shrinking our applicant pool and requiring more counties to outsource their legal work. This exemption does not apply should they qualify to run for public office. That is the bill. Chair Robinson, thank you for adding it to today's agenda. I also want to thank the committee staff and bill drafting for working with me to improve this bill over the last couple of years, and many thanks to the committee members that supported this legislation unanimously last year.
Questions? Questions from the members on the bill? Seeing none, we do have an amendment. Ranking Member Arrington, you recognize to present amendment barcode 871-899.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this amendment is going to remove lines 417 through 427, and it just changes it actually to add the word current in front of it, just to clarify who specifically this legislation is going to be benefiting. And also, at the recommendation of staff, we removed the in areas of neglect and abuse from the language, just because we did feel that that was misleading.
Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we have no public testimony in the amendment. Any debate? Seeing none, Representative Arrington, you're recognized to close your amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, please show the amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the main bill as amended. Public testimony cards. Couple. Martha Edenfield of Charlotte County waves in support. Courtney Mooney, Florida Association of Counties, waves in support. Jeff Scala, Florida Association of Counties, waves in support. We are in debate, members. We are in debate on the bill. Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ranking Member Arrington, for this bill, bringing this bill back. I know the importance of attorneys being able to do their job effectively, and so this exemption will provide that protection for county and city attorneys that is very sorely needed and honestly overdue. So thank you for bringing this back, and I urge all the members to vote up. Thank you.
Further debate? Seeing none, Ranking Member Arrington, you're recognized to close in your bill.
I'll waive close, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Having waived close, Representative Arrington having closed in her bill, Julia, please call the roll on HB 103 and announce the vote.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Gant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Roth.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Chair Robinson.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Please show HB 103 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. Well, all good things must come to an end. Five bills, five unanimous votes. Let's see if we can keep that going. Representative Beltran. Oh, no, that's wrong. Sorry. Members, that was the extension of the meeting. Members, there is no further business. This concludes our agenda for today's meeting. Representative Smith moves we rise. Unless there's an objection upon the motion of Representative Smith, the meeting is adjourned. That was fine.